In today's gospel, we find our Lord at dinner with the Pharisees. This shouldn't be much of a surprise for us. We know our Lord had dinner with all of the sinners. And though their faults may have been less publicly known than that of the tax collectors or the prostitutes, the drunkards, or the Samaritans, nonetheless, our Lord did not hold himself aloof from those public sinners, nor does he hold himself aloof from the Pharisees, who were guilty of perhaps an even greater sin, something we could call Pharisaical scandal, that of imputing evil to a good act. The Pharisees were habituated to deny their hypocrisy. They saw themselves as religious men. They saw themselves as trying to live Judaism to its fullest. They were the religious leaders, and they were therefore offended by Jesus' evident love for public sinners. Puffed up with their pride, they were angered at being classed with prostitutes and tax collectors. Jesus, in a different gospel, likens them to whitened sepulchers, that is, cleaned up graves full of dead men's bones. Elsewhere, he says that they performed their religious acts for people to see. They dressed themselves in magnificent robes so that people could see them. And yet when Christ looked at them, he looked right into their hearts and he saw that they were corrupted with sin. They were indeed sinners, just as much as the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the drunkards, those other sons of Adam. All of us find ourselves as sinners. And Jesus, therefore, told the Pharisees that they were sinners out of his divine love. Out of his love, he spoke the truth. But unfortunately, the Pharisees' pride blinded them to this truth, which would otherwise have opened their hearts to the way of salvation. And therefore we see that pride of life is just as grave a sin as those of the flesh or of avarice. That all of these three sins are classified as a form of our concupiscence. St. John in his epistle distinguishes three kinds of concupiscence: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Well, certainly we can see the prostitutes fall into the sins of lust of the flesh. Certainly we can see the tax collectors fall into the sins of lust of the eyes, seeking the material things of this world. But St. John doesn't say, and then there's some people who have little baby sins called pride of life. He lists it right with the others. And indeed, in our Catholic catechetical tradition, we see that the ninth commandment forbids the lust of the flesh. But the 10th commandment forbids coveting another's goods. And it doesn't say merely their physical goods, but it would also cover their immaterial goods. We are called to get rid of any sort of that lust or that any sort of that pride of life that seeks to say that we're just as good as another or even better than others. We see in Judaism, the rabbis were forbidden to speak to certain individuals, such as the prostitutes, lest they be suspected of soliciting sinful acts on one level, but even more deeply, lest they be rendered ritually unclean. And now Jesus, as a rabbi, was expected to abide by these restrictions. And so when he reaches out to sinners with divine compassion, when he speaks with them, when he forgives them their sins, the Pharisees have this pride that say he is not acting the way God wants. And therefore they decide to use that divine mercy, that divine compassion, as something to hold against Jesus. And they condemn him in order to place a stumbling block between the Savior and sinners. But that stumbling block which they place leaves them blocked out from a way of salvation. The Catechism speaks to us about this. It says, Jesus scandalized the Pharisees by eating with tax collectors and sinners as familiarly as themselves. Against those among them who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, Jesus affirmed, "I have not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance." He went further by proclaiming before the Pharisees that since sin is universal, those who pretend not to need salvation are blind to themselves. There are those who are self-righteous, those who refuse to acknowledge that they depend upon God for all that is good. And therefore, those who are self-righteous close themselves off to God's grace and redemption. For it is only by honestly seeking repentance, only by humbling oneself before God, that one can be saved. Scandal, taken at another words or actions, where especially when there is nothing sinful, is in itself sinful. And it betrays a deadly blindness to one's own sins. This is the sin of those Pharisees, that Pharisaical scandal. And as they should have remembered, as John teaches, that anyone who says he is without sin is a liar. These Pharisees were blinded to their own state of sin, their own need of redemption. And therefore, they were blinded to Christ. Jesus said that scandal will come, but woe to those by whom it comes. When someone who is weak in faith is led into sin by the words or actions of another, genuine scandal occurs. And certainly that is to be avoided. That must be avoided. But Catholic Christians are guilty of this all the time. Think about how often a Catholic Christian scandalizes others by claiming to be Christian while profaning the Lord's name, by claiming to be Christian yet omitting that third commandment, skipping out on Mass, by claiming to be Christian and yet behaving in public no differently than those who are secular. Certainly this scandal leads others to do evil. And Jesus says we'd be guilty of that scandal. The person who gives scandal, the Catechism teaches, becomes his neighbor's tempter, and he damages virtue and integrity. He may even draw his brother into spiritual death. Scandal is a grave offense. In other words, it could be a mortal sin. Scandal is a grave offense if by deed or omission another is deliberately led into a grave offense. The Catechism continues, scandal takes on a particular gravity by reason of the authority of those who cause it or the weakness of those who are scandalized. It prompted our Lord to utter this curse. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. My friends, we need to take this very seriously. We certainly know that the media can often glamorize evil. We know that laws in our country can declare something legal which is intrinsically evil or which is an abominable crime. We think laws such as making abortion legal, laws which would, in some states are making non-complementary marriages legal. These laws are sources of scandal, leading others into sin. As the Catechism teaches, scandal can be provoked by laws or institutions, by fashion or by opinion. Therefore, they are guilty of scandal who establish laws or social structures leading to the decline of morals or the corruption of religious practice or to social conditions that, intentionally or not, make Christian conduct and obedience to the commandments difficult and practically impossible. This is true also of business leaders who make rules encouraging fraud, teachers who provoke their children to anger, or manipulators of public opinion who turn it away from moral values. The Catechism concludes this little section by saying, anyone who uses the power at his disposal in such a way that it leads others to do wrong becomes guilty of scandal and responsible for the evil that he has directly or indirectly encouraged. Quoting our Lord, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to him by whom they come. My friends, we need to examine our lives and see if we are guilty of any of this Pharisaical scandal. For certainly, we know that we can be subject to this because we find ourselves here at Mass. We find ourselves living our Catholic faith. And so we may say to ourselves, well, I'm not one of the sinners. I'm not one of the prostitutes. I'm not one of the tax collectors. Well, if you're going to find your way into heaven, that means you are one of the sinners. And that only leaves one other group. So admit your sin. Find your source of redemption. Don't let yourself be blinded by that which is keeping you from perfection. St. Augustine, whose feast day was earlier this week, said, "Man is often vain about his contempt for glory." We can have a source of pride in not being prideful. And so elsewhere he says on the same note, "If you ask me what is the first thing in religion, I will reply that the first, second, and third thing is humility." My friends, we must humble ourselves and see that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We must look to our actions and see where are we guilty, be they sins of the flesh, be they sins of the eyes, be they sins of pride of life. And regardless of what our sins are, know that Jesus Christ comes to dine with us. He comes to meet us in the sacraments, the sacrament of confession for the forgiveness of sins, the sacrament of the Eucharist to strengthen us in holiness, to bring us to that kingdom of God, to heaven.